It's strange how the course of events play out. In preparing for this invitation tonight, I did not know things would turn out the way they did. In looking at a survey of in-life regrets, there are many things in there, and many sometimes personal things that people regretted not doing, like not spending more time with their family and friends, not being angry so much that it prevented them from doing things. You know, but nobody in there regrets, boy, I wish I'd have watched more television. Nobody regrets, man, I just wish I could have put a few more hours in at work or finished that project before I died. Nobody regrets not playing more video games, spending more leisure time. No one regrets those things. But there are many things that they do regret that we are in common. A lot of them regret that they didn't take better care of their bodies. But honestly, that only delays the process. None of us are going to live forever. I honestly wish I'd have took better care of my body, but that's not going to change my outcome in life, really. Might lived a few more years. I don't know. Maybe not. But there are some things that they do make certain that's common through all of them. They regret not living the true, honest life to themselves. See, we as humans oftentimes get caught up in the cares of others. We want to be accepted by everybody, and we want everybody to accept us, so sometimes we pretend to be something else that we're not, or we shelter what we're saying, we watch what we say, because we don't want to offend anyone. We want their acceptance. The other part of human nature is we're selfish. We want me, me, me first, and we don't care who we offend. And these things prevent us from living the life that we should live, the life that we could live to our fullest. And that was one of the biggest regrets that people had, that they allowed their emotional part of their aspect of their life to keep them from living the way they should have. Bill, we had a class on Tuesday, told me that he regretted that he didn't read the Bible more when he was younger. That he was a good family man, and there's no question about that. He provided for his family, took care of his kids and his wife. He even took care of his wife when she was sick and infirmed and was bedridden and took care of her constantly up until her last days. And he don't regret that, but he regretted that he didn't spend more time reading the Bible. And he'd beat himself up often about it. And I think that's a regret that someday we'll probably all have. I wish I'd have read the Bible more. I wish I'd have studied the Word of God more. The truth is that living a better life, living a life to your fullest potential, a common phrase in the social media now is living the best version of you. Well, that best version of you is Christian. That best version of you is doing God's will, putting God first in your life, not becoming a athlete or a superstar or a social media influence. I don't even know what they call those people these days. That's not the best version of you. The best version of you is putting God first in your life. We have so many blessings, so many treasures from God. We look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I believe it's starting around verse 7. There's this phrase in there in the King James that I love, talking about Jesus, that when he ascended into heaven, he took captivity captive and gave gifts to men. I love that phrase, took captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So in a King James Version, we'd get the idea that his first gift to us was freedom. And we see a parallel explanation of that in James, where it talks about we live under the perfect law of liberty because we are freed from the chains of sin and death. And the old law, we were set free from these things and we're given liberty. We have liberty to be righteous through the blood of Christ. We have the other gifts. He lists their gifts of service to God. Those are gifts to us, but a more inclusive gift is found in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, where he uses the phrase, grace given to me and the grace given to you. The grace given phrase is used at least 29 times in the Bible, more if you count just the term grace by itself in reference to giving to people. But Paul uses that phrase frequently to indicate our physical capabilities that we have, not necessarily spiritual gifts, because when he talks about the grace given to me, He's not talking about the laying on of hands. He's not talking about the healing of the sick or giving somebody the ability to speak in tongues. He's talking about his ability to teach and his unique ability to reach to the Gentiles and teach them. Because of his unique social structure in his life, he has this ability to teach to the Gentiles. That was a grace given to him. And even more so, one of his graces, which isn't mentioned, but is evident in history, was his ability to put into words and letters that we have to this day and composing a large part of the Word of God, was his ability to write letters. Not physically, because we know that Luke actually physically wrote a lot of his letters. He was dictated to, but his ability to put those in written form so that we have them today. That was a grace given to him. But when he talks about the grace given to us in the 12th chapter of Romans, is not necessarily Holy Spirit inspired, not necessarily working within the confines of a church building, not necessarily an elder or a deacon or a preacher, although some of that is mentioned. Some of those talents are mentioned. But he's talking about the everyday talents that we have, whether it's encouraging a brother or just having money to give to somebody in need or to contribute to the church, or whether it's exhortation or teaching or even preaching or leading. And necessarily in that chapter is not necessarily the work of an elder when he talks about leading because of the context. He's talking about your just ability to lead other people. We do these things with diligence because that is the best version of us. Like I said, not wanting to live a life of sloth, a life of selfish greed, or a life of serving others just for their own pleasure, but a life of serving God makes us the best version of us. That is one you will not regret. That is one you'll not feel sorry for. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, and peace, forbearance, long-suffering, patience. These things, there's no law against these things, but they are a great blessing to us. We talked about rest tonight extensively. Look at the world around us. They are starving for the blessings that we have. They are fighting and quarreling and killing one another. Crime is on the uprise. There's violence in the streets, not just this year, but for the past few years, for a long time. People are killing one another because they don't have peace, because they don't have rest. They can't sleep at night because of the anger and the lack of Christianity in their life. This Christianity that gives us peace, there's no peace in these people. And without peace, you cannot have joy. Without peace, you cannot have love. Without peace, you cannot have patience. These things God has given to us in great abundance. These things can be yours.